Welcome to YouBrewMyTea.com podcast, where love and the mysteries of life meet a girl with a big opinion about everything. Today's installment is becoming a successful work-at-home entrepreneur with your host, Katie Hale.
Hi, this is Katie with You Brew My Tea, and today we are going to talk about how to become a successful work-at-home entrepreneur. As a business person myself, I get asked this question a lot by my blog fans, readers, followers, and all the people who tune in occasionally to our videos. How do you become successful doing something you love? In today's society, we have a lot of people who don't like working for the man. We hate going in at a certain time. You hate the dress code. You hate having to do things you don't enjoy. So you want a work-at-home business. You want to be successful making money doing something you love. So today I'm going to talk about three things that I have discovered are the most valuable things in becoming a successful work-at-home entrepreneur. I've been in business for myself for a little over 4 years now, and in that time, I've learned that these things are truly what bring me the most success. Number one, knowing your passion. Number two, getting organized. And number three, treating it like a business. We're going to go step by step through these things today and talk about what I believe makes these the biggest part of what you do and how you become successful. We're going to start with knowing your passion. If you want to have a work-at-home business, most of you that are desiring that want it because you want to do something that's important to you. You want to make a difference, or you simply want to enjoy going to work every day. So why are you doing this? Why have you started a home business? It's because you need a job, you need an income, and you want to do something you love. So for me, I enjoy writing. I've enjoyed writing for years. I like writing fiction. I like sharing stories about my life. I like creating things that people enjoy reading and that people need that make a difference in their life. So I was passionate about that, and I sought out ways that would make me be able to do it and maintain the income level I needed. But sometimes that can be pretty difficult to do. It can be difficult to find something that you can do that you enjoy that also pays your bills. So think about what you're passionate about. For me, it was writing. For you, maybe you are a woman who enjoys making crafts. You like looking at Pinterest all day. You enjoy pinning new fun crafts, do-it-yourself projects. Maybe you enjoy sewing or crocheting or knitting. And it's one of those things that brings you the most satisfaction. It's something that you're passionate about. It's what, if someone asked you, what would you do if you had a day to do anything in the world, what would you do? That's what you think of. I want to sew this dress for my daughter, or I want to create this item I found on Pinterest. What if that is your passion? How do you take that and make it a source of income as a work from home business? Well, some examples that work well for you could be that, for me personally, I'm not Pinterest savvy. I'm not very good with crafts. I'm not good with do-it-yourself projects. I don't take really pretty pictures. So I have hired someone to work here at You Brew My Tea, and Jody takes care of the bulk of our craft projects. She does a lot of great things. In recent days, her Frankenstein tin can upcycle project for Halloween has become one of our top referring pins on Pinterest because it's a fun, simple, recycling, upcycling project. I never would have come up with that concept. It's not something I'm familiar with, not something I'm good at. She, however, thinks of these things so easily, just has inspiration, and she does a great job with it. But guess what? That is now her work-at-home business. She gets to do all of those things she enjoys doing and make money doing it. For her, it meant reaching out to bloggers in a blogging community and saying, I would like to work for you. I would like to create these, give you the pictures, write up how to do it, the tutorial, and create this for you for a fee. That ended up being a project that she could do for myself on a regular basis and for a few other websites and bloggers on a regular basis and give us quality things we want and need while she's doing something she's passionate about and enjoys. That's just one example. Maybe you love makeup. Maybe you love doing hair and makeup and doing things like that. Maybe one of the multi-level marketing businesses out there is something you're passionate about. Maybe they carry products you really believe in. If you like hair and makeup, maybe something like Mary Kay, Avon, or the Unique products, maybe that is what your passion is. You enjoy doing it. That's a great business for you. It may not be what some people would do, but it's a great business. But here's the thing. Not only do you need to know your passion, you need to know if it's just something, well, this is going to pay the bills. So a few years ago, I personally dabbled in selling Avon. Now, I've used Avon products as long as I can remember. My mom bought them, my grandmother bought them, my sister bought them. Avon was a standard in our house growing up. I believe that I probably used more Avon makeup in my life than any other brand. But over the last few years, I've stopped wearing makeup every day. I do on special occasions, but I've just come to the conclusion that my husband doesn't care, and I'm at home by myself all day, and I don't mind not wearing makeup. I feel okay about myself. So selling a product that is mostly makeup just didn't really come naturally to me. Even though I appreciated the company, I thought that the pay was good for what I was doing, I wasn't passionate about the product, and it reflected in my sales. I never could meet my goals because I just wasn't really passionate about it. So number one, the most important thing you need to think about is knowing your passion. What do you enjoy doing? Sometimes it may be that you like to bake. It may be that you like to do hair and makeup. It may be that you want to write novels or you want to babysit children, having an in-home daycare. Maybe you enjoy cleaning and you enjoy making other people's homes look good. Maybe you enjoy baking goods and creating special treats. Or you want to do transcription because you're good with information and good with listening and have an eye for detail. There's no job that is not worthy of your time. It's only about what makes you feel good and you feel that you could continue doing for a length of time and be successful with. So the key points in knowing your passion. Why are you doing it? Is it just to make money, or is it something that you truly want to do that makes you feel good about yourself or makes you help others in your community? Number two on that is it something you love or something you think will just make you money? At the end of the day, we can all go have a job somewhere that will make us money. You can go to any place, a business, you can apply for a job, show your skills, and have a job that makes you money. But is it something you love or is it just something making you money? Number three, is it both financially and emotionally satisfying? There are a lot of things that we can be passionate about that are not going to be financially satisfying. You cannot quit your job to play video games all day, even if that's the thing that you're most passionate about, because there are very few jobs out there that actually pay you to just play video games. However, you could do something entrepreneurial and you could start a website about the latest and greatest video games out today. You could post a post every day talking about the ratings, the parental guidelines, what the new game is about, what formats it's available on, where to get it the cheapest, what games to avoid. All of those things are things that you could do, which would be about your passion, but it wouldn't necessarily be doing what you're passionate about. So you say, I'm passionate about playing video games, but I can't just get a job doing that. No, you can't. But you could create a work from home business writing about it. Or you could go back to school, learn how to program, and create games of your own. There always are options out there, no matter what your passion is. The goal of being a work-at-home business, almost any business can succeed, but you have to be passionate about it. Is it going to be something that you can be financially stable doing as well as emotionally satisfied? Deciding that is going to be very important. In my personal life, while I have been working the last 4 years, I have had a blog, I have been writing, and there have been a lot of things that I've done, but it's taken almost the first 3 years for me to discover what I was truly passionate about. It wasn't just making ends meet. I did a lot of things in the blogging world that made money for me, but I hated doing them. I hated posting coupons and deals. I didn't feel passionate about it. It didn't make me feel good inside. It was just a job. It was a way to make ends meet and pay my bills. Now, I share things I'm passionate about. I share things like how to do specific things with my child homeschooling. I talk about depression. I talk about obesity and how to combat bad food habits and healthy and encourage your children to have healthy eating habits. I talk about those things in my blog post because those are important to me. I've stopped doing the things that I'm not passionate about, and I've embraced what I am passionate about, and I've worked hard to make myself successful in that area. I've worked hard to find the people who want to read about that, who want to hear about that, who want to learn more about that. So number one in learning how to become a successful work-at-home entrepreneur is to know your passion. I think we all probably hear that and immediately think of one thing. So make a note of that. Know your passion. Number two is getting organized. No matter what you choose to do, whatever your business may be, you have to be organized. For me, it begins with having a daily schedule. Now, I do blog posts almost every day of the week. Monday through Friday, there is something on our site. Saturdays and Sundays, depending on what's happening or the season, or if I have a campaign due from another company, I will post. But typically speaking, I post only Monday through Friday. So I have a schedule of logging into my website, going through comments, checking to see if I need to respond to someone, checking my email, checking social media. I do all of those things on a daily basis. For me to be successful and not get overwhelmed, I have to stay organized. So I have things that I do every day. I have things that I do once a week. I have things that I do once a month and things that I do once a quarter. You need to have some organization and you need to stick to a schedule. That doesn't mean you have to have a 9-to-5 schedule. It just means that you have to have some kind of routine. For me, I get up anywhere between 4 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning. My husband goes to work and I get up and I sit down at my desk and I work for 3 to 4 hours nonstop doing those daily tasks that need to get done before my son wakes up. And as a homeschooling mother, I then sit down with him, he eats breakfast, and we work on his daily chores, and then we sit down and we work on school. So I have a schedule. I know that for me to be productive, I need to go ahead and get up and use those morning hours of quiet time to get those tedious little daily things done. So when he's up and ready to start our school day, we can sit down, we can do our classwork, we can do little projects, and then we have lunch and do a few chores, and I can send him off to play in his room or go to the neighbors and play or read a book while I go back to my office in the afternoon and I work for 2 to 3 hours until my husband comes home. And then we have our evenings together, and sometimes I work later in the evenings and catch up on things. My schedule, though, I have to stick to a routine of knowing that I have to check certain things each day. If I let my email account go for even 2 days, I will have 400 to 500 messages to go through. A lot of those may be junk mail, but I still have to go through them to figure out which ones aren't. So setting a schedule and sticking to it is really important in getting organized. The next tip for you that is mandatory for me is documentation. Whether it is documentation for tax purposes, holding on to receipts, checking invoices, or simply documentation of what you have due. If you have a client that you've arranged to do something for, say you're a photographer and you've done a maternity shoot for a couple and you promise to have them all of the proofs for them to pick out what they wanted to purchase by a set date and you don't deliver, that's not very professional. So you need a schedule. You need documentation. You need documentation to keep track of who owes you money, who you owe money, your tax information. Things of that nature are very, very important. As an at-home business person, you have to stay on top of payroll taxes if you have employees. You have to stay on top of sales tax if you're selling goods. And, of course, just federal income tax and employment taxes. You have to keep track of this and know, because at the end of the year, if you don't, it's going to be a huge headache and problem for you to deal with. So documenting what you spent. You go buy groceries and you're using part of those groceries for a recipe on your blog. You need to make note of this was purchased just for this, because some of that can be tax deductible. All of these things, you need documentation. So for me, documentation is key about taxes, client orders, invoices, and expenses. It's very important. And how do I handle documentation? I'm a spreadsheet queen. I can tell you right now, I have hundreds of spreadsheets in files, in folders, in subcategories in my Dropbox right now. I have spreadsheets for each client I work with, even if it's only a one-time thing. I keep a spreadsheet up for them in case they come back. I can keep all of their information in one file. I have spreadsheets for current orders due. I have spreadsheets for sponsored posts for our blogs. I have spreadsheets for production for our podcast, for videos, what I owe our production manager. I have spreadsheets that tell me when my invoices are due to be paid from the people that I work for on a monthly basis. And I have spreadsheets that tell me who I employ, what I pay them each month, and what they owe me as far as product or quality, contacts, anything. I make sure I have notes on everything. I also go the route of a legal pad. I have a legal pad on my desk that I write out my daily to-do list on. I find that writing it out makes it better for me personally to cross things off. I printed to-do list, but then I'm ending up writing things in between lines and it gets messy. I'd rather have the legal pad out beside me and I number it and I number it by priority and I write things out. I also keep a spiral bound notebook with me at all times. I use that to jot down notes when I'm on the road, when I'm in the car. We'll go grocery shopping, and I put my shopping list in that spiral bound notebook. And then if I think of something, oh, I see something in a store while we're shopping, and I think that would be a great blog post, or that would be great to have Jody use for a new craft coming up, I'll make a note so I can refer to it later. But I also have all of these spreadsheets. Now, when you are documenting things for your business, it's very important to have multiple copies and quality backups. For me, I love using Dropbox. It's my go-to. But there are also options. Dropbox has a free version that has a minimal amount of space, or you can upgrade. I pay an annual fee of around $100 for basically unlimited cloud storage. And as many pictures, videos, blog posts, and documents that I have, it's really important to me to have almost unlimited space. So Dropbox is my immediate go-to. Everything I do, every documentation, every spreadsheet, I save in categories, in folders, in Dropbox. I also have it saved on a flash drive. I keep a 64 gig flash drive that at least once a week, and probably should do it daily, but at least once a week, I back everything up to that flash drive. So should something happen mysteriously to my Dropbox account, I'm able to access that and have everything I need right there in front of me. I also have a lot of people that recommend things like Google Drive. Google Drive is great, especially if you don't own or don't want to download a spreadsheet or a word processing program on your computer. Google Drive is great. You have access to it. You can use word processing there. You can use the spreadsheet system, and you can save it all in your Google Drive and have it access to it anywhere. And I love that. It's great. I don't use it near as much as I do Dropbox. Dropbox is my preference. But Google Drive is free and awesome and a great storage feature. Also, Amazon Cloud. If you are an Amazon fan, check out Amazon Cloud. Reasonable rates for storage, some free storage product. It's really important that you back up your documentation, whether it be the actual project you're working on, if it's a project that should be saved on a computer, or it's simply your to-do list, your client contact information, your tax information, your spreadsheets. All of that needs to be backed up in some form outside of just your computer. We've all had moments where, oh my soul, the computer crashed and I lost everything. If you have your information backed up on an outside external drive or flash drive and a cloud storage system, you will never be without what you had saved. It will always be there. And that's really, really, really important in business. If you want to be a successful work-at-home business, you know that you need to keep track of what you have on hand, what you need, and what your orders and invoices are. The last thing on my list, number three, is treat it like a business. And this one's really serious because I see this every day in my business, in blogging and running a website. I see people every day who it's a hobby and they don't treat it like a business. And there's no problem with having a hobby that you make a little money from on occasion. But if you really want this to be your career, if you want to be a work-at-home entrepreneur, you have to treat it like a business. A lot of people come into working from home and think, oh, I can wear yoga pants and sip coffee in my bed every morning till noon and work from my laptop. While that is true, it may not be the most productive way for you to work, and it may end up making you lazy and making you not so productive in the end. So you have to treat it like a business. Get serious about it. Don't just shove receipts in a bag and forget about them. Don't forget to keep track of expenses. Get serious about what you are doing. If you have clients, give them a proper invoice to pay you by. Don't write it out on a piece of paper and say, here, I need you to pay me $500 today. Be serious and professional, because if you want to be looked at as a serious business person, you have to behave like a serious business person. That means that you get serious about what you're doing, that you create business accounts instead of just doing everything out of your personal bank account. You need to look at, if this is something you seriously want to do, get a tax ID number, incorporate, get an LLC, incorporate your business for protection purposes, get a separate bank account to do all of your business dealings through, so that all income and all outgoing is easy to access and easy to account for in one account. Melding that with your personal account can be very tricky when tax season comes around if you don't take good notes and don't keep good records. It's very important to keep these things separate. Treat it like a business. Many of these things are free or very inexpensive to maintain, and it's just a matter of being organized and taking initiative to treat it like a business. One thing that I see often, especially in online business dealings, is that people don't treat their clients like a boss. At the end of the day, you're your own boss. You set your own schedule. You do things on your time. But when you engage in a contract with another human being for a product or a service that you are selling or you are promoting and you don't follow through, you are being a poor business person. So an example would be, say you have a project due at your regular 9-to-5 job. You go in your office, your boss comes, sits down in front of you, and he says, here, I need you to have this ready on this date at this time. And you go through all of this work and you get behind, you get lazy. You decide to play on your phone for an hour in the middle of the day instead of doing your job. And the deadline rolls around and you've missed it. And you don't have a valid excuse for missing it. What happens? Well, you may get written up, or alternately, you may easily lose your job. So the same thing happens in online businesses. Specific example being, I as a blogger do a lot of reviews for companies. I do sponsored posts. You may go back and look at different products that we've reviewed on our blog, and you say, oh, cool, she got something for free. I did, but I had to work for that. So in exchange for something like a vacuum cleaner that we recently reviewed, I agreed to not only take pictures of it, but write about it. Tell people on my blog what I thought about it. Did I like it? What is it good for? What comes with it? What the cost is? All this information. I agreed to have it done by a certain date and time. If I had received that $200-$300 vacuum in the mail and I used it in my home, but I never did the blog post about it and I never shared anything on social media, that's a breach of contract with the company that sent it to me. That's poor service toward a client. That's me not doing my job. That's me not catering to my client. That's me failing as a business person. You have to treat your business like it is a business. It's no longer a hobby when you decide it's a business. You cannot let deadlines slide. You must do the work that you promised to do within the time frame you promised to do it. If there is a reason why you cannot, perhaps the product didn't work in my case. If the vacuum didn't work, or I didn't care for the vacuum, or I really didn't think that I could promote it because I didn't believe in the company after all, then I need to contact that client and talk to them about it face to face and let them know, you know what, I appreciate you sending me this, but it's just not what I need or what I want, and I'm not really comfortable telling my fans about it because I don't think it's quality. Well, I'm doing my job. I'm telling them, you know what, I can't fulfill the end of the bargain, and these are the reasons why. And it gives the client an option to come back and say, okay, well, I understand that. I respect that. Let's see what we can do to fix the problem. That's how you act professionally and treat things professionally within a business. So to wrap things up a little bit here before we go, today we're talking about becoming a successful work-at-home entrepreneur. And the three things that are really important to me and in my experience have been to know what you're passionate about, know your passion, and know that that is what you want to do every day. Taking a job working from home that is something that's tedious and boring and frustrating is no better than going into the office and working the basic 9-to-5 job you've had before. Get organized. Get organized with a schedule. Know what you need to do when you need to do it. Stick to your schedule. Document everything. Use the free programs out there that are available to document in spreadsheets, sticky notes, post-it notes, legal pads, whatever method works best for you. Document, document, document. And then, of course, making backups of everything. Store all of your documentation in backups, not only on your hard drive, but an external drive in at least one cloud storage system. You don't want to lose out on future business because you lost a contact through your hard drive crashing. And number three, treat it like a business. If you really want to find success, you have to treat this like the business it is. Get serious about it. Create business accounts because it is a business, it's not a hobby. And treat clients like you would your boss. If you are working in a regular job, you would treat your boss with respect. Do the same thing for your clients in your work-at-home business. I appreciate you tuning in today for You Brew My Tea's podcast on becoming a successful work-at-home entrepreneur. If you have any further suggestions or recommendations or even questions, please feel to come by our blog at youbrewmytea.com or drop us an email at khale@youbrewmytea.com. Thank you.